Philippians chapter 3. And while you're turning in your Bible, let me share with you that on Friday morning, early this week at 3:30 in the morning, my telephone rang. And I know when somebody's calling at 3:30 in the morning, that usually means something's up, and it was Julia Blankenship on the other end of the line. And Julia had indicated to me on the phone that that Johnny had just passed and went to be with the Lord at about 3 o'clock in the morning on Friday. He had been in hospice care for a little while now, and they had it all set up in one of the bedrooms there at the home in Westland, and so she just happened to get up and go to the bathroom. She went to check on him, and so somewhere between when he went to bed and when she checked on him about 3 in the morning, right during that time, that he had passed and gone to be with the Lord. He was saved, and Johnny was, knew the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, made that decision years ago, and was ready for heaven. He had fought a long and hard battle these last 2-3 years. We know his heart was only working at maybe 18-20% capacity, and he was fighting that. He was fighting the sugar diabetes and other health-related situations and that, and I know Julia was becoming exhausted with what was all going on, and it was a lot on their family, so pray for them. The funeral will be this Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock at the Griffin Funeral Home on Ford Road, and the funeral will be Wednesday morning at 11 at the funeral home, and then the visitation will be on Tuesday from 3 o'clock to 9 o'clock at Griffin Funeral Home. There on Ford Road. So if you want to get a hold of Julia or go by the funeral home and see them or send them a card, I know they would appreciate that. And then the burial will be right here at Knollwood Cemetery on Ridge Road right after the memorial service on Wednesday morning. And then they'll be coming back here to the gym, the Spracken Family Life Center, for a sit-down meal together with the family. So pray for the Julia and the children and grandchildren, all them. And I know Johnny will be greatly missed. So just pray for the Lord to be with Julia throughout this week. I know they would appreciate that. In your Bible in Philippians, we find here in this text of Scripture in Philippians 3, we're going to read verse 10 down to verse 14 as we think about this time of the year. You know, today's kind of a unique day in the fact that it's the last day of the year of 2017, and we now close out the year tonight. We'll go into the year of 2018, and so when you think back behind us, there's been many decisions that have been made. Matter of fact, I titled the message today, Decisions. And I don't know about you, but I think the greatest decision that I ever made was the day that I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. That was in 1967 that I understood the gospel for the first time clearly when the message was given to me, and I said, yes, that's exactly what I want to do, is I want to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. That's the greatest decision that I've ever made. If you're here today and you've never made that decision, that I would encourage you to do that today before it's eternally too late. You never know how long we're going to be here, and so by all means, you need to know for sure that you have assurance of your salvation and that eternity is your home in heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so decisions, we make many decisions, especially during this time of the year. We reflect back and think about things that have gone on this last year. Many decisions that you and I have made through the year. Maybe some of them were good. Maybe some of you say, I wish I could redo that over and decide something a little different. So when you think about decisions, you know, it's that time of the year where many of us will ask ourselves some hard questions. Some will even put it in the form of what you call resolutions. They'll make New Year's resolutions or make new goals or reassessing your goals or your plans or your agenda for a new year. And as a new year gives us, really, if you think about it, a fresh new start. And listen to what Paul said here. This is really a passage of Scripture that deals with Paul's sanctification. He's talking about sanctification. And sanctification in the Bible is just a theological word that that we use for our becoming more like Christ, conforming to the image of Christ. When you and I got saved and trusted Christ, and you made that decision to ask Jesus to come into your heart, you and I were positionally placed into the body of Christ. The Bible talks about it being baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit, and that begins putting us on that road of sanctification. So we are positionally positioned in Christ, but then we are progressively, as we grow day by day, progressing in Christ, and we should grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so notice what he says here. Paul simply says about this in sanctification. He says in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may have apprehended that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, notice now he's addressing the church at Philippi, brethren, the Christian community, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, notice the narrowness of his focus, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, and I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So when you think about Paul's goal here, his goal simply was, you think about goal and goal setting, there's a lot of goals that you can set, and you can kind of go back and analyze this last year and say, you know what, I'm going to set some resolutions, or I'm going to set a goal, or I'm going to set something going forward. And here's a great goal that Paul set for himself in verse 10, simply was that I may know him, that I might know the power of his resurrection, that I might know the fellowship of his sufferings, and that I might be conformed to the image of Christ. And so Paul was focused. I think it's good every time this time of the year rolls around. For whatever reason, it has a way of bringing things a little bit more into focus. It allows you to look back a little bit, but allows you and I to look forward a little bit and to focus a little bit more on what's going on in your life and around the decisions that you and I have to make. And so Paul was focused. I think that's a good thing. And he was focused on this one thing I do. Not a lot of things. He was focused on one thing, just one simple thing, and that was forgetting the things which are behind. You can't dwell on that. You can't change that. Now, you got to understand where Paul was coming from. Paul was one of those men that he was a Pharisee. He went up and down the land seeking to kill Christians and to slay them and to have them thrown into prison. Now, I don't know about you, but you can ask God to forgive you. And yesterday, he struck him down on the Damascus Road, and Paul was saved. But did you ever think about this? Did you ever think about if you're not careful, the guilt you can carry around with you of how much Paul impacted Christianity in a negative way during that time? Christians were fleeing from the Apostle Paul before he got saved. And so Paul really come here, he said, forgetting those things which are behind. I can't change any of that. That's in the history books. That's behind me. I can't change that. That's done. Whatever sin you and I have in our life, wherever our shortcomings are, wherever we've missed the mark, wherever we've been and what we've done, that's in the past. Forget those things. You can't change them. You can't dwell on them. Paul's simply saying here, I'm sure if you could sit down and talk with Paul, I feel bad about all that and those things happening. So he says, I want to forget those things which are behind me. And then he says, I want to reach forth unto those things which are before me. So Paul pressed towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I read this story the other day. It's really interesting. It was about a father and a six-year-old son. And the son was graduating from kindergarten, and the father asked him, he said, well, what do you want to be, son, when you grow up? He said, I want to be a professor. He said, a professor? He said, yes. He said, I want to be a professor of happiness. A professor of happiness, that's a pretty wonderful ambition, don't you think? And I thought about that. I thought, what, to grow up to be a professor of happiness? And then I was reading in Proverbs 29 and verse 18 this week, and it talks about where there's no vision, the people perish, but those that keep the law of God, happy is he. Now, we're at that time of the year where there's going to be a lot of people. They're going to go out and they're going to celebrate today or tomorrow. They're going to try to find happiness. They're going to try to redirect their resolutions or their goals or their ambitions, all in a pursuit of happiness. And the Bible is very clear. If your pursuit is to seek out happiness, you're only going to find it by obeying the Word of God, the law of God, the Word of God. And that's very much clear in the Bible and what the Bible teaches. And so a grand goal for sure to be a professor of happiness. And I want you to think about this today. Now, there's a lot of things that I think we need to be careful in how we define them. A resolution. What really is a resolution? First of all, if you put in resolution, try to find it in your Bible, you're not going to find it. Resolution is not there. A resolution is a firm decision to do something or a firm decision not to do something. So there'll be many that today, tomorrow, whatever, this week, will be making resolutions. They're going to decide that they're either going to do this or that, or they're not going to do this or that or whatever, and they're going to resolve to change the course of direction and make wiser decisions what they do. So many will make resolutions. However, that is not a Bible term, and you'll not find it in the Scripture. But I think it's good to make decisions. I think it's good to make wise decisions. I think it's good to look back and say, you know what? I'm going to change course a little bit. I'm going to make wiser decisions going forward. Now, if you take the word resolution, and then you take the word goal, a goal then becomes an objective, different than a resolution. A goal is an objective. It has a purpose. Without goals, people just kind of wander through life. And so when you think about stumbling along, never knowing where they're going or where they might end up, goals are essential to success as air is to the life that you and I breathe. So goals are good. You need to look back and make some decisions and say, you know, what should be my goals for the year of 2018? Okay, I want to resolve to do things different. I want to resolve to do things better. I made some wise decisions in 2017, but maybe I had some decisions made in 2017 that were not so wise, and I want to course correct that. I want to set some new goals. A goal is different than a dream. A dream is defined as to contemplate the possibility of doing something. And you do find the word dreams in the Bible, and there were dreams there, but when we talk about here, we oftentimes focus on the resolution or the goal, or what Proverbs 29 verse 18 talks about, a vision. A vision is the ability or the instance of a great perception, especially of future developments. Men of vision, we saw those many. I shared with the Sunday school class this morning, there's many in the Bible, in the Old Testament. You could start in Genesis 15 and go all the way through the Bible, through the book of Revelation. There are many that had a vision, that God gave to them a vision. And one such man we were talking, I was talking to Fred just a moment ago, and he and I were just talking about Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 53, how that could be so that Isaiah could look out 800 years into the future and know that there was a Messiah coming. And Isaiah 53 describes the Lord Jesus Christ, the crucifixion, and a man of sorrows, and describes our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. How could that happen? Because Isaiah was given a vision by God prophetically to look into the future and see there would be a Messiah that would come, the Savior of the world. It gives a great description there found in Isaiah chapter 53. So when you look at Philippians 3 here, though, Paul was focused on the future, not the past. And so what a great example here for you and I to focus on the future, not the past. The past is behind us, and we need to press, like Paul says here, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now let me just share with you this thought this morning, and that simply is, don't focus on what you don't like or do, or the focusing on the past. Paul didn't. He always focused on the future, and there's some things that can destroy our ability to be able to succeed and moving forward. So you need to be careful with that, because right out of the gate, did you ever do this? How many times have you known somebody, or maybe it's been you, and that you've resolved to do something, you've decided to do something, you've made a resolution to do something, only to find out 30 days into a new year, you've already broke the resolution. You resolved, you had good intentions, you meant well, and so there are some things that you might want to change, and a decision to do something or not to do something. So I'm going to give you four or five things here this morning, I think, to be careful of or to guard against, to help you. If you're going to make some decisions, some goals, some things to resolve to go forward, be careful. And the first thing that I think that can destroy your ability to be successful in moving forward is what I would call self-depreciation. Self-depreciation, by that, in other words, it could be simply as, I would like to do this, but, and you come up with an excuse. You come up with a reason why you cannot do it. You're defeated right out of the very beginning before you ever get started, and talking yourself into that what you just resolved to do, you cannot do, and you don't have the means or the ability to be able to do that. Self-depreciation, or it could be a lack of resources, or a lack of intelligence, or something that just simply says, I cannot do that.
Well, that really sets you up for defeat or discouragement right out of the chute, and to do that. And so, I would try, but if I tried, I probably would fail. So I'm not going to do that. Or I lack the education, or I lack the experience, or whatever it is. And so I'm going to give you a verse when you think about it that Paul gave us, and simply said that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So no matter what it is, and so many people destroy their desire with that old negative self-depreciation of themselves. They'll look internally with themselves and say, although I want to do this, I want to resolve to do this, I want to make this change, I want to be a better person at this or whatever, but then you'll start destroying yourself before you ever get started right out of the chute. Self-depreciation. Second thought is this, that I think kind of hinders people from being able to move forward and to thank God that Paul was able to continue to move forward for what he was focused on, the one thing that I might know him. But here you find, in other words, the second thing is security. Security in that, in other words, I'm pretty secure where I'm at. And that can hinder you and I from being able to move forward. And oftentimes, why we don't want to move forward is we get a little comfortable right where we're at. Even though it may not be where you want to be at, you're in your comfort zone. So sometimes I think it's good to push us out of our comfort zone, or out of the box, if you will, to push us where we have not yet been, or where we want to go, like to go, want to go, and be more than where we're at right now. So to resolve to be different. So don't get so comfortable in life. Don't get so comfortable in yourself. I think it's always good to have new ideas, new thoughts, and push yourself beyond the limits. And don't get caught in that little comfort zone of, I've got boundaries around my life, and I'm quite comfortable in that little box of circle right there. And so therefore, that's going to limit you and I to be able to move forward if we limit ourselves. So self-depreciation. And then being so secure in ourselves that we don't want to move forward with any new ideas, new thoughts, and to be able to move forward in a new year. Second thing, or third thing would be, I just would title this competition by that meaning. In other words, don't look around you. Don't look around the world around you and I. Competition by that meaning. Sometimes people can get so focused that they're looking around the world or looking at others. The only thing that matters is what's going on in your life and your example and your circumstances and being all that you can be for the cause of Christ. So by that meaning, simply that don't look around at the world. Just focus. Stay focused. And that's what Paul did right here. He stayed focused on this one thing. Don't pick out 10 things, maybe. Pick one thing. What it is that you want to do better, decide to be better, and move forward in the year of 2018. So when you think about it here, Philippians 4:13, just simply, probably one of the greatest verses in all the Bible. You should underline this or make a note, mental note, so you know where you can go back to it time and time again. Philippians 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Let me give you a couple examples. In my life, I remember this week my mother's younger brother passed away. So I had to run to Ohio for a couple days for a funeral. So we went after the funeral and this graveside burial and everything. All the first cousins, we all went out to eat in a restaurant there and sitting there talking. I was sitting across the table from my mom's sister, her fourth daughter, anyway, Pam's her name, and we're sitting there, and I was telling Pam, I said, your father taught me how to swim. And she goes, yeah, he taught a lot of people how to swim. I said, yeah, but how he taught me how to swim was kind of interesting and a little bit scary. She said, why? What happened? She goes, I told her, we were down at Pleasant Hill Lake. And my uncle Eb McIntyre was his name. And so I'm standing on a dock there, and there's probably 25, 30 feet of water in the dock where the boats and pontoon boats were all docked down by the dam at Pleasant Hill Lake. And so he says, I was just a little kid, maybe 7, 8 years old or something. He says, hey, Rick, he says, have you learned how to swim yet? And I said, no, not yet. He said, that's what I thought. He took his foot and pushed me off that dock in 25 feet of water. And I'm arms and legs going everywhere, spitting water, and then he jumps in with me. He said, today's your lucky day. He said, you're going to learn how to swim today. And that was the day I did learn how to swim. Not by choice, because if he'd have sat there and asked me, are you ready to learn how to swim? You want to jump in? I would have said, absolutely not. There's no way I'm going to jump in. And that I'll never forget the day that I had decided I wanted to learn how to fly an airplane. And so I went to the airport and signed up, took the lessons, bought the material, got the flight instructor, and started taking lessons. And one day we're in a little Cessna 150 and at Mansfield Lom Airport, and so the Ted White was the flight instructor. And so Ted, we had just landed and come back into to the airport. There was a big, pretty good-sized runway, I think about 11,000 feet, and they flew F-84s in and out of there with the Air National Guard. And so he said, pull over on this taxiway. I was 16 years old. He said, pull over on this taxiway and just leave the motor running. So I pull over and let the motor run. And then Ted reaches over and opens the door. I said, where are you going? And he said, today's the day you're going to solo and fly this plane by yourself. I said, no. I said, I am not ready for that. He said, yes, you are. He said, you're ready. I said, no, I'm not. I said, don't you get out of this plane. And he says, that's all you got to do is just do what I've taught you and trained you to do. And he said, and you'll be just fine. And Ted got out and closed the door, locked the hinge, started walking across the grassy area to the hangar, and waved at me. And I'm listening to the chatter on the air of the air traffic controllers and everything, and somehow I survived that. But if he had asked me, I would have said, no, I'm not ready for that. I don't want to do that. So simply when you look at it, there becomes times where we get boxed in life, and you got to be able to move out of your comfort zone and just maybe focus on one thing. And all you can literally do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. You just got to figure out what you want to do. And then all things through Christ. And then, if you will, let me share a fourth thought with you. I think something that can steal away and that with a person would be, now I put this down as parental dictation. By that meaning, don't let mom and dad or family or whatever dictate your future. By that meaning, your parents might want you to do this or do that or whatever. I think you and I need to individually do all that you can do and all that you can be for Christ. I'm going to give you an example by that. And by that, meaning your career choice, we need to let our youth today be all they can be for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And parents obviously always want their children to live successfully and to do better than them and to thrive and to do well and be successful in what they do. And I will never forget one day my son called me. He was going to Liberty University, and so he was in his sophomore year at Liberty, I said, have you declared a major there? And he said, yes, I have. And he said, I just did that. I said, really? I said, so what did you decide to major in? He said, sports management. I said, what? And he said, sports management. I said, how are you ever going to go get a job in sports management? He said, Dad, trust me. He said, there's all kinds of jobs out there. You can hook up with NFL franchises and professional baseball organizations, and you can have, there's all kinds of opportunities in sports management. I said, I don't know that this is a wise decision. I said, but it's your decision. But here's the only thing I would ask is make sure you get a business minor along with that degree. He said, okay. So that's what he did. So he got the business minor, got the major in sports management, and upon graduation, as I got near, I said, so what are you going to do? He said, well, I'm going to go to work for the Carolina Panthers in Charlotte. And so he did. Now, I would have nixed that. If it was my decision, I would have said, no way. You don't need to major in that. Find something else that you can major in. And so my point is, I had to bite my tongue as one of my sons sat there and said, this is what I want to do. This is the decision I want to make. And then I had to allow him to be able to make that decision, and God has blessed him through that time. Now, he didn't stay with the NFL franchise, but more than 2 or 3 years, and then he went on into business and ended up working, is in the mortgage business for Bank of America, and then with Quicken, which is a Detroit-based company here. So my point simply is you got to allow them to be who they are and to be the best that they can be, and you want them to be able to succeed. Let me give you the fifth thing here I think that can steal it away, and that is family responsibility. By that, meaning that it would be it would have been wise for me to pursue this or that, but now in life I have a family. I have commitments. You don't know. I'm tied down. I can't do this. God maybe has laid something on my heart, but I feel like that I'm too old to do that. I'm not in the career mode for that. The only thing I can say to you is this, is I remember when I enrolled in Bible college, and I looked around, and in the classroom, I was 19 years old at the time. We had a lot of other 19, 20, 21, 23, 24, 25-year-olds in the room, a lot of 20-year-olds. But I also looked around the room, and there were many that were in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. And I remember talking to some of those people saying, how did you end up coming to Bible college in your 50s? They said, we were sitting in church, and God just burdened us with a desire and a goal and a call to ministry or whatever. And we were always taught and trained that don't ever give up on that. If God's called you, he'll provide a way for it. Age has nothing to do with it. And so they came and they attended Bible college that even in their 50s, graduated with a four-year degree, and then went out and began to pastor a church or work in a ministry or go to the mission field. So my point is, don't allow age in life to be able to hinder your resolutions or your goals or your dreams or your desires or whatever it is that he's called you to do. And there always will be something that will want to steal that away from you. So you think about, you know, where you're at in the year of 2018, and you got to think about there's some things that I think that can help you and I as we move into the new year. And one is, it's a good time of the year to check your habits. By that meaning, break some bad habits like putting off things or having negative things in your life. We were talking earlier in Sunday school. How much time is consumed even in watching television in our own homes? That doesn't lead many times to anything fruitful. So you have to look at it. It's a good time of the year to examine your habits and what we do. And then to acquire some good habits and put in some things. Take some bad things out. Put some good things in to replace those to be able to get you to where it is that you want to go. Obviously, starting each and every day with the Lord. Here, Paul was focused on this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press forward. Then give it all your heart and give it all your decision. Pour yourself into that and move forward for the cause of Christ and what he's called you to do. So acquiring good habits, and there's a lot of things. You can make a long list of things to be able to do. I think it's a good time of the year to reevaluate that. And then thirdly along with this is increase your value. By that, increasing your value. I think this could apply to all of us. Doing a better job of developing our relationships, doing a better job at whatever it is that God has given for you and I to do, and being more and better even at what he's given to us to do. Learn more about what you do and be a student of what it is that you do, and help improve those around you that helps to make others and all lifts all boats and brings people up around you. And so every week, do something special with your family. Give some undivided attention to your family. It'd be a sad thing to lay out goals and ambitions and desires and to realize the most important asset you have is, one, is your salvation, but secondly, is your family that God has given to you. And to realize it's a great time. That's why I think something special about Christmas is always to be with family and to be a part around them and to be able to have a part in their life to help them. And it's really, if you really think about it, it's the only thing you're going to take to heaven with you is your family. Look in Philippians 2 here. Philippians 2, I think another thing that we can do to help increase our value with this is to sharpen our mind. Philippians 2 in verse 5. Paul taught here to the Philippian church, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So being a servant of Christ, serving in humility, investing in reading, read your Bible on a regular basis. It was exciting in Sunday school. There are some that had set goals and shared with us in Sunday school that one of their goals had been accomplished by reading their Bible through in the year of 2017. Maybe that's a good goal for you this year. If you've never done that, read your Bible and set a goal. You got a chance to start tomorrow and every day this week to be able to do that. This year in 2018. I remember Craig Plants. Craig and his wife were a member of our church here for several years. And Craig, when he came to church, he always carried a chronological Bible. And he always read his Bible chronologically through by dates. And I think when they left here to move back to Pennsylvania, Craig told me had read his Bible completely through from the first word to the last in a chronological Bible, something like 40 times. He said, there's some way about reading your Bible and reading it chronologically. You can go on to Amazon.com and you can buy a chronological Bible, Reese's, at a very reasonable price, and read through the Bible chronologically. And it'll help, it goes by dates. Through there, gives you a different perspective of reading the Bible. So that might be one thing, by sharpening your mind and reading the Word of God. Read your Bible on a regular basis. Read other things that can help you improve in the Christian life, and then spend time daily in a quiet, undisturbed thinking between you and the Lord. You know, as we think about that, I think there's some principles that we can put to work here. Paul did so, and that simply is get a clear fix on where you want to go. Paul had a clear fix on where he wanted to go. He focused on just one thing, creating an image for yourself of going forward of where you want to be, and that's where Paul was at with this. Now, today in our world, you can even write it out. Write out a plan. Don't leave anything to chance. Put it on paper. What do you want to accomplish? Where do you want to go? Whether it's at home or work or in your social life or whatever, surrendering yourself to your desire, set some goals or ambitions or desires. Where do you want to be? You know, the thought occurred to me when I was working on this sermon. I thought, yeah, where do you want to be? Where do you see yourself 1 year from now? 5 years from now? 10 years from now? What's the roadmap? What's the roadmap for your life spiritually, in your Christian life, in the Bible, in the Lord? You can also address that with your family, with your work, with your social life, and everything you do. You look at yourself and you say, where do I want to be 1 year from now? If you think you're just going to get there on your own automatically, it's not going to happen. You got to be able to look at that and think of that, and then lay out a plan to be able to get you where it is that you want to go. So look at it. Write out the plan. Surrender yourself. Set goals to get more energy, to get things done. Set goals to discover the real enjoyment of living and be able to check those off. But let your major goal, whatever that is, be your automatic pilot to put you on focus. Paul had one right here. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. So when you look at it here, let that be your guide. Achieve it one step at a time. That's really what Paul did. Whether you look at it in 30-day cycles or day by day or however it is, and let me share with you too, you and I have lived long enough to know, many of us, that detours can happen. Paul had some detours. He didn't let it hinder him in his journey through life. About everything can happen. Paul had been stoned, he'd been shipwrecked, he'd been left for dead. All kinds of things had happened with the Apostle Paul, but he kept faithful and didn't get detoured to his goal and his desire to serve the Lord. And so invest in that and to realize, take it in stride. And a detour oftentimes means time for another route. And don't surrender if you hit a detour in life. Invest in yourself mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and by then also to take care of your body. To realize, because your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And notice that, if you will, as we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, God has only given us one body to have. And so if you don't take care of what God has given to you, then it's going to limit you and I what we're able to do going forward. So take care of the body. Everything that we do, what rest we give it, what we feed it, what we take care of it, and to realize we've been given a blessing, and take care of yourself so that you can in turn do what God has called you to do. Look at Philippians 3 and verse 13. Notice this one word in here. Paul says apprehended. He says in verse 13, but I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. This word apprehended is an interesting word. Paul here had reduced the whole part of sanctification to the simple and clear goal of doing just one thing. You know what his one thing was? Being Christ-like. That was Paul's one thing. So let me ask you today, what is your one thing for 2018? What is your goal? What are you striving for? What are you pushing for? What are you moving towards? What's your desire? What's your goal? Paul's goal, one thing, and apprehended, he says here, is to be Christ-like. That was what his goal was. That was what his mission was. That was what he set out to do. And forgetting the past, I can't do anything about that, Paul says. Those things are behind me. That's done. I can't change any of that. Don't focus on the achievements of the past or the failures of the past. Don't dwell on the sins or failures of the past. Don't drag that around. And don't get distracted by the past. That'll hinder you and I from being able to move forward in the future. So whatever it is that God has called you to, be able to let that go, Paul said, let go of that, and to be able to move forward. The goal, simply, the Apostle Paul, was to be Christ-like, here and now in his life. And the upward call of God, whether you're raptured to heaven or through death's doorway in the presence of the Lord, is to receive the prize which has been unattainable here on earth. Johnny Blankenship this week transferred from this earth to heaven. He now knows what it's like to be able to be Christ-like. in heaven, taking his last breath on this earth this last Friday. And so you and I today, we simply got to ask ourselves in the year of 2018, what's your one goal? What's your objective? Maybe you say, well, I'll take Paul's goal. That's a pretty good one right there. This one thing I do, this one thing I'm going to focus on this year is to be Christ-like in my living and my decisions that I make. Make sure then that the decisions that we make all flows into your main goal of being Christ-like. If not, get rid of that decision. Get rid of that, whatever it is. If it's not helping you to achieve your ultimate goal, then let it go. Forget those things which are in the past. Move forward to that which is in the future. Let's pray. Help me, Father God, we love you. Thank you for the Apostle Paul. Thank you for Philippians 3. Thank you for his sanctification, his desire to, he understood that he was saved and he knew Christ, and his one desire was to be Christ-like in his living. So God, may we, as we look at this today, maybe there's another goal that or ambition or desire that you would put within our hearts, but this is a pretty good one right here in Scripture, that our desire is forgetting those things which are behind us and then moving forward to those things which are before us. So God, today, if there's baggage that we're carrying around, if there's sin or failure we're carrying around, if there's discouragement we're carrying around, if there's things that we're hanging on to, we just need to cut it loose and let it go. And to realize that in our sanctification, we are moving forward for Christ. Help us to make wise decisions in the year of 2018, to be Christ-like in our living, in our example, individually, and then for the benefit of our families and others around us. Today, may Christ be lifted up in all that we do. And God, if there's one here today that has not yet made that decision to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, God, I pray that they would choose Christ today as their Lord and as their Savior. God, thank you for the opportunity to be able to get through this year and to enjoy the blessings of the year. Help us to cut loose the things that hinder us. Help us to move on and stay focused on Christ before us. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand together.